Chapter 12, reading verses 1 to 3 and then 11 to 13. And you can follow it either on the screens or on the Pew Bibles on page 1210. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
So how was Christmas for you? Ours was the usual whirlwind of family comings and goings, of food, of family comings and goings and more food. And now that everyone has gone home, the house feels rather quiet. And we're actually enjoying the peace and the chance to reflect on Christmas, as well as looking forward to 2019. Talking of Christmas, what was your favourite present? I'm still waiting for one of mine, and it's the present I'm most excited about. Intrigued? Well, Joe and I decided as presents to each other to have our DNA tested, to see where we originally come from. I'm hoping to prove that I have Viking ancestry, as both my parents hail from the northeast, my dad from northeast England and my mum from northeast Scotland. And the kits arrived at the beginning of December, but because we've been so busy, we only got round to opening them a few days before Christmas. Now, I'm the sort of person who doesn't always bother to read instructions. Even when I do, I don't always read them carefully. More often than not, I just glance at them before I pile in, confident that I will work it out as I go along. So, for example, if I make an IKEA bookcase, the end result will probably look reasonably okay, but I'll have some random pieces of wood and extra screws left over. That bookcase might hold up for a while, but might be in danger of sagging later on. Joe, on the other hand, will always identify and lay out each piece of wood and carefully count all the screws before reading the instructions in minute detail. That's who we are. So, what about that DNA kit? Well, I rip it open and see the words spit into the tube up to the black line, so I do. Then Joe reads out the instruction that I didn't read. Do not use if you have eaten or drunk in the last half hour. We both look at each other. We cannot remember precisely when we had lunch. To be on the safe side, I tip my test tube down the sink and without thinking again, rinse it with tap water. As I do so, I remember that there is fluoride in the tap water, which may contaminate my sample, but it's too late to worry about that now. So my test, when it does eventually come back, will probably read Viking with traces of fluoride. We finally did the test correctly a few days ago, and now we just have to wait until the results come through. I'll let you know. But here's the thing. It's actually not my human identity that matters, but who I am in Jesus that counts. Because our human ancestry only counts for this life alone, but our spiritual ancestry counts for eternity. So to whom will we belong? Because the amazing thing is this: when we become followers of Jesus, we are adopted into a new family, the family of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Romans 8:14-15. And we're not just led by God, we are loved by God. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. 1 John 3:1. And I really think this is the most important thing for us to remember as we enter into this new year. We don't just belong to our human families. Some of you, if you've had a tricky time with members of your family over Christmas, might be rather relieved to know that right now. But joking apart, and I don't mean to joke about it, because actually, if you have got difficult relationships with family members, it isn't something that makes you laugh. It can cause all sorts of problems. So I certainly don't mean to offend people by that remark. But sometimes, particularly when our family life is difficult, it's really helpful to remember, actually, we belong, if we belong to Jesus, we belong to a much bigger family. We're chosen, we're led, we're loved by him. And the amazing thing is that God comes to live inside us through the Holy Spirit to help us to grow more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And it's a bit like when we invite God to be part of our lives, he plants a bit of his DNA inside us. Isn't that the most amazing thing ever? And this is what Jesus told his followers, and this includes us, because Jesus' words aren't just historic. They also apply to those of us who follow him now and those of us who will follow him in the future. If you love me and obey my commands, I will ask the Father, and he will give you the Spirit of truth to help you and be with you forever. You know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. John 14:16-17 and 20. Jesus in God, us in Jesus, and Jesus in us. How amazing is that? Because if Jesus is in God and Jesus is also in us, that means God is also in us, in Jesus. It's like God's DNA is running throughout our body. I actually looked online to see if I could find an image of a stick of rock with the name Jesus on it. I just couldn't find one. I could find all sorts of other interesting things, but not that. But it's that idea that he's running through us, throughout every cell of our body. It's like there's that little DNA of Jesus running through us. So how should this change us? How should this transform our approach to 2019? Well, the thing is, following Jesus is always a choice. Allowing Jesus to change us is always a choice. Growing more and more into Jesus' likeness is always a choice. We can be genuine about wanting to follow God, but if our choices don't match our desire, we'll quickly get into difficulty. And it's rarely a quick fix, because transformation usually takes a lifetime. But the end result will be worth it. For many people, the attraction of the new year is that it's new. It's seen as an opportunity to begin all over again, to put right the wrongs of the previous year, as if by stepping from December into January, it will all automatically be made perfect again. Would that that were true. We want it to be. Let's put everything behind us and start over. But it's not quite that simple. You see, our problems, if we've got them now, tend to follow us into the new year. And if the roots of our difficulties aren't dealt with, then our problems are likely to regrow, causing us and others harm once again. And whether we realize it or not, the root of our difficulties is usually sin. Wrong choices made by us or by others, often stemming from our selfish desires and ambitions, as well as our failure to follow God. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us." And so often our larger problems grow out of a chain of small events that we hardly notice until it turns into something major. The small details count, a bit like those extra screws and that extra plank in the wardrobe that's meant to actually keep it upright and stable. It looks all right on the outside, but put too many books in it, and there's suddenly a rumbling noise and the whole thing crashes to the ground. And it's the small things that we miss or forget or lose sight of that can grow into something much bigger. It's a bit like the man who was mowing the lawn. Peter said this morning when he saw my slide, he said, "Is that your garden?" I said, "You must be joking." I said, "Our lawn is like a pocket handkerchief. You know, it'd be useless having a sit and ride mower because it would just simply sit there and you wouldn't be able to get it into the house anyway or onto the back lawn." But it's a bit like the man who was mowing his lawn when his mower suddenly juddered to a halt. He looked underneath and found that the blades were all tangled up by a piece of rope that had been hidden by the long grass. Because the blade was spinning so fast, the rope was now tightly tangled round the blade, and until the rope was cut away, the man was stuck. There'd been no more progress. He could drive around as much as he liked, but that grass wouldn't get cut. And that's sometimes a bit what we're like. You know, we carry on as normal, but actually what's happening is that the things that should be happening are not happening. You know, it's like we're completely ineffectual because something in us is stuck. What should the man have done? Well, it would have helped if he'd checked the lawn before he started mowing. Instead, he just piled in, a bit like me with that bookcase. It would have helped if he'd been looking ahead. He'd mowed that lawn so many times, he'd got complacent. He'd forgotten to watch for signs of trouble, and now the machine was useless. Here's the thing, our lives can either be a bit like the mower or a bit like the driver, because we all have things in our lives that sometimes spin out of control and get stuck. Danger areas, if you like. Maybe in our day-to-day choices, maybe it's a relationship or a situation at work or at home. Or like the driver, we've become complacent. We've forgotten to watch out. Or maybe we haven't taken responsibility for our actions. Maybe we even knew something was wrong, but that still didn't stop us. And I wonder whether some of those thoughts are ringing true with you. I woke up in the middle of last night thinking about a family here at church who I haven't seen for a while. And God really put them on my heart to just check that everything is okay with them. And it might be a very real reason. What do I mean a real reason? Every reason is real. It might be a significant reason. It might be something quite simple. But we can sometimes coast along on autopilot. We do so much on autopilot, don't we? Sometimes it's easy to drive on autopilot. You know, we're just driving along and I sometimes think, Fiona, concentrate. You know, you're on the road. I mean, I am, but you know how sometimes you do things, you automatically, you cook, you switch on the cooker, you don't think about it. You just do it. And there are so many things that we do without thinking about it. And that's often the danger area. We just get complacent. We get we forget to be wary. And we all have triggers that can drag us away from the people that we should be. here's the thing. We have a Saviour who understands our frailties, who knows what the things are that tempt, spoil, and damage us and those around us. But Jesus' delight is to set us free. And I was so glad that we had that image of chains being broken in one of the worship songs. So pleased that you chose that song. Our reading said, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame." Jesus endured the cross above all because he loves us. He totally loves us. But also because of the joy set before him. And that joy was the joy of bringing many souls to glory. That joy was the joy of bringing us to glory. That was the joy that sustained Jesus to the end. Imagine that. All the time that Jesus was on the cross, he was just thinking, this is going to win these people. This is going to give them their freedom. Such joy in heaven. Such joy for my Father. Such joy for me. And that was how he felt about each one of us. And Jesus finished the task that was set before him. And now the writer of the Hebrews urges us to look at Jesus so that we get encouragement from his perseverance, so that we too will persevere and finish the race. Consider him who endured such opposition so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. One of the things that makes us weary is the sin that entangles us. And another word for entangle is distract. So we need to get rid of the things that will stop us finishing the race. What's actually hindering us? What's distracting us? And those things will be different. The things that hinder me will be different to the things that hinder you. The things that distract me will be different to the things that distract you. But the remedy is the same for all of us. We need Jesus to cut us free. Jesus himself said, "Everyone who sins is a slave to sin, but if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." The title of this sermon is "Out with the Old and In with the New." But I think it's good as we move from one year to another to take time to reflect on the year that's gone. Because sometimes we want to move on too quickly. We fail to listen to the lessons of the past. What exactly is God saying to you about your life? Especially the bad bits. The bits you prefer to ignore. The bits you always hide from other people. Because we always present the best bits of ourselves, don't we? It's a bit like those Christmas letters where you get a round robin letter from someone and their children are all absolutely perfect and they all get A grades and they all play musical instruments to grade 8 and everything's sunny and happy and smiley and you think, come on, is this real? You know, because my family isn't like that. We present the best side of ourselves. Social media, we will usually present the best side. We don't tend to put posts up saying, "I've had an absolutely rubbish day today. I never bothered to get dressed and I ate chocolate all day long." Mind you, some people might think that was the height of delight and joy. But we present our outside self. We're usually trying to keep the best bits on show and we hide away the patterns of behavior that are damaging. The things that we regret, that we don't want to acknowledge. But when we see these patterns for what they are, when we acknowledge them, and particularly if it's something where we actually need to say sorry to God or sorry to other people, that's when we can be set free. And sometimes it's things that people have done to us, or else things that people have done to those that we love. that are trapping us. These ones can be really difficult because we often end up holding grudges. We often end up being bitter because we've been hurt or those we love have been hurt. And that can leave us being unwilling to forgive and to let go. And sometimes people say, oh, I can't forgive them because that would be betraying them. But the trouble is, when we don't forgive, then we become trapped too. Just supposing we could give those pains to God and trust him to deal with whatever it is, to deal with whoever it is at the right time and in the right way. Sometimes we need to forgive to move forward. And if we can't forgive, sometimes we just simply need to say to Jesus, I cannot forgive these people. I'm not at that place yet, but I want to give the problem to you because I can't carry it anymore. It's weighing me down. We need to release the problem to God to deal with and trust that he will so that we can be healed. And reflecting honestly can really help us in that journey. And God may also want us to think about the things that we haven't done as well as those that we have. How many times in 2018 did God want me or you to be a blessing to someone, either by saying or doing something, but we didn't, either because we weren't listening to God or because we just didn't want to do what he asked us to do? God doesn't want to crush us with guilt, but sometimes he needs to confront us where we go wrong so that we can put things right and be set free. Painful as this is, it's good to reflect on these things, to be reminded of our human frailty and how much we need to depend on God. My journal reminds me of all the times I have rushed into things or done things in my own strength and wisdom, only to get unstuck and then have to go back to God for help to sort it out. Rereading these episodes is hard, but they challenge me to change, to seek God's wisdom first, to lay out those pieces of wood and count the screws rather than rushing in, and to lean on God more and more in everything that I do. Jesus has paid the price for our pain and sin on the cross, so we don't have to. When we're tempted to cling to stuff that's holding us back, we need to remember that God is good. As the song says, you're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. God wants to cut us free from the things that are holding us back. It's not the best image of weights on your legs because some runners actually run with weights to make them strong. I just don't run at all. But there we go, that's another story. But actually what God's interested in isn't the stuff that's going to make us strong. It's the stuff that's preventing us from being strong in him. He wants us to be strong in him, and he knows the things that cling to us that need to be cut free. And if you just imagine a runner with just burdened down and barely able to move, sometimes that's what we're a bit like. And he just wants to cut it all off. There's that film called The Mission, and there's that wonderful moment at the end of it when this man who's done some terrible things and he knows he needs to be punished for it, and he actually wants to be punished for it because that's the only way he thinks he's going to be free. And he staggers up the Iguazu Falls with this enormous burden on his back. And it's really holding him back. And it's the most powerful moment in the film when someone comes towards him. One of the natives comes towards him with a knife, and this guy thinks he's about to die, and he's ready to die. He almost wants to die because he's just so overburdened by guilt. He can't live with himself anymore. And this native raises the knife and slashes through the rope and the burden that he's carrying just tumbles down the waterfall. God wants to do that for us. We always resist God because we think he's going to come and punish us. God wants to heal us. He wants to make us whole. He wants to release us. And his plans for us are so good. His plans for us for this year are so good, but he wants to spend time with us and help us get things right with him first. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He wants to cut away all the negative stuff that we've been either holding on to or that has been following us through this last year. He just wants to cut it away, and he wants to release us into new things this year. So let's be open to him. And yeah, Father, I pray that you'd help us to recognize what you are saying to us and to know what we need to do. Help us to see some of the things that we're carrying around with us that you want to cut away. And give us the courage to come to you and ask you to deal with them. And some of these things we've been carrying for so long, they've become part of our identity. And it can be hard laying them down because it means we have to find out a new identity. But Lord, help us. If we've put on an identity that doesn't belong to us, help us to lay it down and become the person that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.